This was so great.
That's all right.
Am I supposed to say something?
Thank everyone for showing up. That crowd looks like a turnout at the polls on a Tuesday for a city election.
Actually, it's a little heavier.
That way it was. Wasn't it just three of us?
Madam President, you will reconvene the meeting. I think Angel Cavill will take it from there.
Okay, this meeting is now called to order.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call the roll. Mr. Gwynn?
Aye, are here. Still trying to vote.
You can't vote.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Here.
Mr. Musley?
Here.
Mr. Owen?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Here.
And we're here, we're going to certify the October 15, 2013 election results. Total registered voters, 32,590. Total ballots cast was 3,407, 10.45%. And out of the 19 precincts counted, District 1 City Council, Susie Heimbuckle received 1,463, 43.85% of the votes, and Brent R. Molliver received 1,873, 56.15% of the votes. Ocala City Council District 3, Aaron Fien received 690, 21.30% of the votes. J.A. Musley received 2,549, 78.70% of the votes. For the referendums, the first ordinance, which was City Ordinance 2013-39, yes for approval was 1,274, 39.39%. No for rejection was 1,960, 60.61% of the vote. The second ordinance, City Ordinance Number 2013-66, yes for approval, 1,610, 51.26% of the vote. No for rejection, 1,531, 48.74%. City Ordinance 2013-68, yes for approval, 1,485, 48.62% of the votes. No for rejection, 1,569, 51.38%. City Ordinance 2013-69, yes for approval, 1,517, 48.39%, no for rejection, 1,618, 51.61%. City Ordinance 2013-70, yes for approval, 1,580, 50.51% of the votes, and no for rejection was 1,548, 49.49% of the votes. I just need a motion to accept the.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
That's it.
Got you out of bed for this.
I know, I put on makeup.
We are in a public meeting right now, correct? Can we ask Wesley for any of his words of wisdom on how to increase turnout since the Star Banner's basically chided the whole population? And
well, we really didn't advertise that to be on the agenda.
Questions for the.
But we're going to be bringing an ordinance to you about expanding the canvassing board, and we'll have, I'm sure Mr. Wilcox will appear, because we're going to recommend he'd be on the canvassing board, so when that comes to you, that'd probably be a good opportunity to maybe discuss that with him then.
I know we didn't advertise, but we're apparently we're only going to make 2,000 people mad, so. what are they going to do? The masses are going to roll in? I understand, I'm just.
Appreciate it, Mr. Gilligan.
Maybe that's why we don't have better turnout.
Why?
Because we can't talk about it.
Well, if you want to talk about it, we would have put it on. We actually talked about talking about stuff, and we didn't know what we wanted to talk about, so we didn't do the agenda that way. So.
But I mean, it's a council meeting, right?
Well, and the special
public comments.
It's a special council meeting.
And we ask for public comments, and if Wilcox were to stand up and make a public comment, why can't he do that?
I can't stop you. I'm just.
No, I'm just asking.
We publicly noticed it for this and this only. I mean, you're not going to take any official actions. I don't know that it hurt, so.
Just give his opinion if he wants to.
While we're here, can we have 2 minutes of your opinion?
Pat, the dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's.
It's more than a dollar, unless you're saying you're citizen.
Well, they've got the special going on right now.
Oh, okay.
You know, you get the dollar. I wish I could offer some sort of magic bullet that would turn out percentages and people out and get them involved. I don't know that there is any magic bullet. I think the thing that most displayed turnout percentages kind of harken back to the 2012 elections, the primary in Marion County. Although we had a Republican, a Democrat, and a nonpartisan primary, the Republican primary, that portion of the primary, and I'm not speaking partisanship, it's just based off of a fact, that turnout percentage for that party was extremely high as it relates to history and what we've typically seen in partisan-type turnouts in a primary-type election. I think the driving factor for that was interest in the multitude of races that were going on, driven by the candidates themselves, the candidates, the campaigns, and the issues and the items that were going to be decided or at least move forward in that August primary. I think it's incumbent upon us as candidates to spark interest. I know as our role as in government is, my role is I'm going to attempt to make every voter feel welcome. I'm going to open the doors and, you know, invite them in. But in no form or fashion can I hold a gun to their head and twist their arm to force them to come in. So, unfortunately, I don't know that there's a magic bullet. But I think that we as candidates, and the majority of us up here are candidates, we've got to get our supporters out. We've got to get our messages out and let people know how much we think this is important. And, you know, I know this is ideological. Maybe I'm a little naive, but, that, you know, that's kind of where I am in my life. So, my 2 cents. And 98 cents more, you'll get a cup of coffee.
You used to get a bigger, you know, we've talked to, not advocated, but we've talked to council about having their elections coincide with the state and national elections.
That would be a charter change, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I can't remember whether it was a charter change or ordinance, but the only reason we ever advocated it or presented it to you, really would advocated it, but was presented it to you was to save money because we'd split the cost of the election with everybody else. But they get a lot bigger turnout because you have every 4 years you have a president, and 2 years you have the congressional elections. But the other point is, I think council, I've heard councilmen say this, is that when you have that, the people that are voting on the down ballot for city council and mayor and whatnot, and they really aren't concerned. So you got people that are showing up because they want to vote for the president, let's say, and they have absolutely no concern about who's on city council. They wouldn't show up anyway. And those people are now voting on a city election. And do you really want them voting in a city election if they don't have a concern? People that probably show up on the off-year elections, which ours are, they're probably a little bit more passionate about the city than the people that are showing up at the general elections.
See, I would agree with that completely, and so I don't think the goal ought to be to move it to when the general elections are held, but to just increase participation in our off-year elections, and whether that increases, like, say, from 10% to 15 or 20%, but, you know, maybe if we had a modest goal increase.
I'll just, my two cents for what it's worth, that you may consider is people are accustomed to voting on the first Tuesday of November. So maybe you do it in the off years on the first Tuesday of November. Because I've heard, I mean, I heard from several people, gosh, why are we doing this in October? Don't we usually vote in November? And I know that there's some pretty major cities, Atlanta being one, that has their city elections on the off year, but still that first Tuesday of November. So that's another option.
But then you'd have a runoff situation, you'd be voting
right,
mid-December.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that does with all the timing and all those other issues, but I mean, if you're looking just to turnout, you know, people have in their head that that's the election day.
There are states that do an off-year election for certain items as well. The state of Texas does their proposed amendment changes in odd-numbered years on that first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Going back to what Mr. Gilligan said, you know, if you were looking to change, you don't necessarily, you know, would have to go to the general election of the even-numbered year. You could come in and place the general election portion of your election on the August primary, which then would still bolster turnout because of the way the primary ballots are historically, you know, there's a chance that things could be different. But historically, a primary ballot is a much smaller ballot, and items may not get lost on that. And we already have a nonpartisan ballot, you know, so that it would cover the entire city as well. So, you know, you've got that, you know, school board's nonpartisan, so it's not like you're creating some reason for a nonpartisan person to show up. There's already that reason. So, you know, that may bolster some turnout as well, and it's a possibility.
But then you get back to your point. You've got somebody voting who really doesn't care who their city councilman is, doesn't.
If you're going to take that argument, I mean, you can take that argument to the extreme. You know, a person that shows up at an August primary in 2012, they were there just to vote for supervisor of elections because, you know, obviously that was the most important race on that ballot. But
were there other races?
It's hard to imagine there were other things going on. But so maybe they skipped the sheriff. Maybe they skipped the superintendent. You know, some of those down ballot items. So, but, you know, I mean, it just depends on where you take the argument. So, thank you.
Thank you, Wes.
Thank you.
Nothing else?
Well, if there's nothing else, we are adjourned.
Okay, we're going to play roulette with
bingo.
Bingo with
Wes. Daniel, we could have used you yesterday. Monday.
How'd you do?
We were 9 under. Somebody was.
How you doing?
Good.